welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Drama in this hour. Later on, an audition broadcast of a program called I Confess from 1952. But first, one of radio's great experiments late in its golden era. It's the CBS Radio Workshop with the story Housing Problem. Famous voices at the time, Shirley Mitchell, Shep Mankin, and Dawes Butler, appear in the CBS broadcast from June 16, 1957.
From Hollywood, the CBS Radio Workshop.
I don't care what you say. I say he keeps a canary in that cage.
That's my wife, Jacqueline. Jackie, for short. A woman of firm opinions.
And I say, leave that cage alone, do you hear?
That's Mr. Henchard, our boarder. A man of similar firm convictions. Me? My name's Eddie. And I say, I don't care what kind of a bird he keeps in the cage, so long as he pays the rent. The CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind, presents Housing Problem. An unlikely story, but the kind of story you're not likely to hear anywhere else except on the workshop. Housing Problem, an experiment with your imagination. Adapted by Sam Pierce from the short story by Henry Kuttner. Produced and directed by William N. Robeson.
My wife, Jackie, and I both work. We have to keep up the house payments. And we couldn't make ends meet even then if it weren't for the rent Mr. Henchard pays us for the back room. So, naturally, we were pretty worried when he announced one night,
I gotta leave town for a while.
Oh.
You're giving up the room?
I'm doing nothing of the sort.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm quite willing to keep paying the rent while I'm gone, providing...
Providing what, Mr. Henchard?
Providing I can count on you two to cooperate.
Why, of course, Mr. Henchard.
Oh, whatever you say.
I'll be gone about a week. Some property of mine up north needs tending to. I don't like to leave my birdcage behind, but I can't take it with me on a bus.
Oh, we'll be more than glad to take care of it.
That's just what I don't want you to do. Don't go near it. Don't touch it. Don't remove the cover.
But the canary, it'll starve.
Canary. Canary, you listen to me. I'll leave plenty of food and water. You just keep hands off. That's how you cooperate. Stay away from that birdcage, understand?
Yes, Mr. Henchard.
But I don't understand.
You heard me. Keep your hands off that cage.
Yes, Mr. Henchard.
The next night, when Jackie and I got back from work, Mr. Henchard was gone, but the cage was still there in the middle of his room, sitting on a pedestal, shrouded by a flowered cretonne cover.
Eddie, we promise.
Well, we're staying away from it, aren't we? We didn't promise not to look at it.
Hey, Eddie, there's a note pinned on the cover.
Yeah.
Well, what's it say?
How do you like this? It says, mind now, don't touch this cage.
Honestly, you'd think we were a couple of kids or something.
Just for that, I'd like to yank the cover off the silly thing and... What was that?
It came from the cage.
Doesn't sound like any bird I ever heard.
Sounds like someone moving furniture. And opening a bottle.
Champagne for the canaries, no doubt.
Oh, Eddie.
You don't think we ought to just peek under the cover?
No, I don't. I think we ought to tippy-toe out of here and go to bed.
Okay. But I'd still like to see what kind of a bird it is that can open a champagne bottle. Next day, that silly birdcage was so much on my mind, I nearly fed my hand into the planing mill down at the plant. Jackie admitted the same kind of trouble. Her shorthand went way off and her typing fell below 50 words a minute while she worried about Mr. Henchard's bird. I guess it was really plain curiosity, but we rationalized it into concern.
Eddie, it's got to be thirsty by now.
With all that champagne?
Well, hungry, maybe.
Maybe. Of course, I'm not exactly a bird lover, but I'd hate to think of a poor little feathered creature dying of hunger when I could do anything to save it.
Oh, darling, you have a great heart.
Oh? It's nothing, really.
Mm.
It's just the way I feel about things.
Well, then we'd better make sure.
Yes. Yes, I think we should.
We'll share the responsibility.
Yes, together.
You lift the cover and I'll take a quick look.
We'll both lift the cover and we'll both take a quick look.
All right. You take that end and I'll take this.
Ready?
One.
Two.
Three. Eddie!
It's a house. A perfect little doll's house. What was that noise?
It sounded like shades being pulled down. Eddie, it was a shade. I saw it snap shut on that tiny little window there.
There are lights in the house.
Oh, Eddie, the little green shutters, the white woodwork.
But what's inside there?
I never heard of a canary that could pull down shades.
Oh, this is crazy.
Eddie, look, at the chimney.
Smoke. There's smoke coming out of it.
The canaries are cooking.
Oh, something is cooking, but who says it's a canary? Who says it's any kind of a bird?
But what else could it be? It's a bird cage.
It's a house in a bird cage. A perfect little house down to the very last detail. Look, look, there's a doormat and a tiny little doorbell.
Ring it.
Ring it?
The doorbell. Ring it.
How am I going to ring a doorbell on a house that's inside a bird cage? I can't get my finger through those bars. Cage is soldered to the stand.
Well, maybe you could use a pencil.
Pencil, sure, good idea. Here. Now, let's see if I can get the tip through the bars
uh-huh.
and against the doorbell button. That's about it. Mm-hmm. Now, push it.
Eddie!
I don't think they're going to answer it.
Well, they must be such little things.
Things?
Birds or whatever lives in that house.
Well, they won't come to the door. Let's see if we can poke the pencil in a window and have a look inside.
Be careful, Eddie.
I think now if I can get my eye up against the cage here, I can see through the... Ouch!
Eddie!
The bright flashed at me like a flashlight right in my eye, like a tiny beam of light from a flashlight.
Eddie, let's go. Let's leave them alone, whatever they are.
I'd like to take that cage apart.
Oh, no, no, Mr. Henshaw.
Well, when he gets back, I'm going to ask him a few questions. He can't keep pixies. It isn't in the lease.
He doesn't have a lease.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I suppose we better leave it alone. We need the money he pays us, that's for sure.
And whatever it is that lives in the cage hasn't bothered us up to now.
Yeah. Let's cover it up and turn in. Maybe they'll be in a friendlier mood tomorrow.
Listen.
Yeah. Boy, whatever that is, it's out of tune.
I think you've hurt its feelings. They're turning out all the lights.
Jackie had nightmares all night. I know, because I didn't sleep a wink. So, the next morning, we decided on a quick look before we went to work. Now, let's be real quiet, and maybe we can sneak up on them.
You think they'll be leaving for work, too?
What kind of work? Painting buttercups? Now, be quiet, and I'll get the cover off.
Okay. Look, one of the window shades is up, and the window's open.
Now, maybe I can see inside this morning. I can just get up close enough. I think I can see.
Eddie, what is it?
An eye. A great big bloodshot eye staring back at me.
Let me see. Eddie, it's a little mirror.
A mirror?
Yes, a little mirror hanging on a wall. And that was your eye looking back at you.
Well, it didn't look like my eye. It was bloodshot.
Well?
Very funny.
Eddie, look, on the porch.
It's a milk bottle.
And it's purple.
Purple milk?
From a purple cow, maybe.
Oh, cut it out. Hey, is that a newspaper there beside it?
It looks like one.
Let me see if I can make out the printing on it. Looks like a headline. It's in red, and it says, Extra, Fatspa moves on tur.
Fatspa moves on tur? What kind of talk is that?
Pixie talk, no doubt. Fatspa moves on tur. I'm going to buy me a magnifying glass today. I'd like to read the rest of that paper. I don't know how Jackie and I got through that day at work, but somehow we did. And that night, we didn't even wait to get our coats off before we went in to see the cage. I heard the sound before Jackie did.
Eddie, listen.
Music. And it's good music, too.
But it sounds so little.
Well, what else? They're little people.
It stopped.
They must have heard us. Let's get the cover off. No lights, windows shut, and the blinds drawn.
The milk and the paper's gone, too.
Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute. Is that a sign on the door?
I can't make it out. It's so tiny.
I'll use my new magnifying glass. Quarantine. Scoppy fever.
Scoppy fever?
Why, the little liars, I'll bet they don't have scoppy fever at all.
You only get scoppy fever in April, don't you?
April and Christmas. That's when the bread and butterflies carry it. Where's my pencil? I'm going to ring the bell again.
They're not going to answer. There go the shades.
Pretty snooty, if you ask me. After all, it's our house. Their house is in, if you follow me.
I wish we could just see them. Just one little look at them, whatever they are.
Well, I'll try one more thing. I'll write them a note.
On what?
On the door, like this. Let us in. There.
But we don't want to get in. We just want to see them.
Well, they'll know what we mean. Now, let's leave them alone, and maybe in the morning they'll have an answer for us.
Eddie, the quarantine sign's gone.
Oh, there's another one on the door. They've answered us. They've written us a note.
Oh, read it, read it.
Wait till I get my magnifying glass. There. It's printed on a little card. WETPAINT.
Wet paint. I knew you shouldn't have written on the door. They've gone and repainted it. They're neat little things, whatever they are.
Wet paint, indeed.
There's more milk on the porch. Green milk this time and another newspaper.
Yeah. Let's see what the headlines are today. Extra. FOTSPA overshoots TER. Huh. What kind of news is that?
Well, I don't know, but I think we'd better cover the cage, Eddie. I think we've bothered them enough. We don't want them to get mad at us. They might blab to Mr. Henchard and get us in trouble.
You sound as though you thought they could talk.
Well, who says they can't? They can read, they can write, so they can talk.
The next few days were like nightmares. We'd pretend to be working all day, and then at night we'd immediately go into Mr. Henchard's room and uncover the cage. And always there would be smoke coming out of the chimney and smells of cooking and the sounds of dinner preparations in the evening. And every morning, new bottles of milk, different color each day, blue, red, yellow, and the newspaper headlines. Extra, TER slides toward FOTSPA. Extra, FOTSPA goes up. There were even tiny little letters in the mailbox. And one morning there was a telegram. Oh, but we couldn't get to them. Day after day we tried to see inside the little house, but always it was the same. When we took the cover off the birdcage, the noises would stop. The shades would snap shut, the lights would go out, and nothing was left but the lazy spiral of smoke from the tiny brick chimney. Then one night, Jackie and I headed out.
But what would Mr. Henchard say?
Oh, I don't care. I've got to find out what goes on in that house. My work's going all to pot.
I know, Eddie. I filed a letter today that I was supposed to mail.
I almost welded my thumb to a wing section. Heck with Mr. Henchard. Let's go in and find out what lives in that cage, even if we have to melt it down with a blowtorch.
Sure is quiet in here tonight.
I'll get the light.
I'll get the cover off. Oh, no. Eddie.
What is it?
Look, on the front door.
It's a sign. A big sign.
For rent. It says for rent. Oh, Eddie, they've moved out.
They sure left the house clean. Look inside there. The floors are polished, the walls are scrubbed, but the furniture's gone and the window shades.
Oh, Eddie, what are we going to do? What are we going to say when Mr. Henchard comes home?
Well, we didn't have long to wait. The very next night, Mr. Henchard blew in like a blast of cold air, went directly to his room, and blew back out again considerably hotter.
Busybodies, Pryors, I told you not to touch the cage.
Oh, Mr. Henchard.
I told you to leave it alone. Oh, no, not you two. You had to fool around with it.
Well, Mr. Henchard, we only thought they might be thirsty.
You only thought you had to stick your noses into somebody else's business. That's what you thought. Well, you've done it. You've ruined the whole thing. They've gone, moved out, lock, stock, and barrel. They've moved. And I'm moving, too.
Oh, Mr. Henchard, we're so sorry.
Sorry? It took me months to build that little house to their exact specifications, and months more to coax them to live in it. Now you spoiled it. They won't be back.
Who won't be back?
My tenants. I'll have to build a new house now. But this time I won't leave it within the reach of meddlers.
Mr. Henchard, are you a magician?
Magician? I'm a craftsman. A mighty good one. That's all it takes. You treat them right, and they'll treat you right. It isn't everybody who knows how to build the right sort of house for them.
But who are they?
Who are they? You mean, who are they? Little folk, of course. Call them what you like. Nixies, pixies, leprechauns, brownies. They got lots of names. But all they want is a quiet, respectable neighborhood to live in. Not a lot of peeping and prying. Gives the property a bad name. No wonder they moved out. They always pay the rent on time, too.
Rent?
Luck. Good luck. What you expect to pay in money?
But luck? There's no such thing as luck, Mr. Henchard. That's a superstition.
Superstition? Hey, you remember when I kicked that boulder loose and it fell in the wooden steps we was going down at the beach that day?
I remember.
Boulder hit the step below me, went clear through. The wood was so rotten. I'd have broke my neck if I'd stepped on it.
Oh, that's right.
Things like that happen to me all the time. That's luck. That's the little people paying their rent. And now you've ruined it. Goodbye.
Oh, wait, you're forgetting your cage.
You can keep it. Keep the house, too. No decent folk will live in it now. You've ruined it.
Watch those steps, Mr. Hanchard.
Friars, meddlers.
Oh, Eddie, his luck has left him already.
Yeah. Boy, that was a nasty fall.
Eddie, take me down to Moriarty's for a nightcap, will you? I feel terrible. I still feel terrible.
Yeah. The nightcap didn't help much. Let's turn in. It's late.
Shall we take a last look at the cage?
Can't hurt anything. Come on.
Eddie, listen.
They're back. The house is rented again.
And they're having a party. Eddie, they're happy in there.
Honey, we're in. We've got the house and we've got the tenants in it.
Maybe we'll have the luck that goes with them. Maybe they'll pay us the rent now.
Yeah, but we won't bother them anymore.
We'll leave them alone.
We'll never peek or pry again.
And if they're happy, they'll probably stay on for always. Oh, Eddie, this is wonderful.
The next day, I felt almost like my old self, even though we had lost our roomer. We had new tenants in the little house, and it was ours now, all ours. It was just before quitting time. I was working on the big metal planer when I heard somebody yell.
Eddie! Look over there, look out! Behind you, Eddie, look out! Pushing me into the planer, Mike!
Eddie! You all right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. What stopped the planer, Mike? It was right on me. I thought it was going to slice me up like a cold cut.
It was one of those cylinder casings that fell into the planer and jammed it just as you reached the blade. I never saw nothing like it in my life. Oh, boy, what luck.
Luck. Luck, Mike. That's it. It's luck. Good luck. They're paying their rent already.
They're what?
They're paying their rent in luck. Oh, boy, wait till I tell Jackie about this. Imagine those wonderful little guys, Jackie. Saved my life and they've only been in the house one day.
It was a miracle, Eddie. You could have been killed.
Yeah, yeah. Any other time, the planer would have gone right on slicing and I'd have gone into it. You know what I've been thinking?
No, what?
I ought to write them a note of thanks. Let them know I'm grateful.
We promised we'd leave them alone, Eddie.
Oh, but this would be different. I just lift up the cover on the cage and slip the note in and cover it up again. It couldn't hurt anything.
Well, I don't know.
Matter of fact, I've already written the note. Oh, come on. Come on. Let's take it into them.
You won't try to mess around with
them. Oh, I promise. Anyway, who messed around with them before? Just me?
I know. Come on.
What's going on in there?
Sounds like the same party they were having last time.
Only it's bigger and louder. Come on, let's get the cover off.
Eddie, look!
Bottles. Empty bottles all over the porch, and
garbage pails.
Scattered all over the place and, ooh, smell the smoke coming out of the chimney.
It smells like corned beef and skunk cabbage. Jackie, what have we gotten there?
Well, they're certainly not the same class of tenants Mr. Henchard had.
That's it, that's it. He said the place would run down.
He said he'd have to build a new house to get the decent kind of tenants. Oh, Eddie, what have we done?
We've inherited the Jeter Lesters, the Jukes and the Kallikaks. The place looks like Tobacco Road.
When there's even a clothesline stretched across the front window.
Well, that does it. I'm not going to put up with sloppy tenants. I'll pour water down the chimney and send them all packing.
Eddie, you can't.
I can and I will. There's no reason for us to put up with this kind of nonsense.
But there is a reason, Eddie. Don't you remember? They pay their rent.
You mean the planer?
You would have been killed today if you hadn't had some extra luck. Some extra good luck. These pixies may be sloppy, but they pay their rent.
You're right, honey. You're absolutely right. I fall on the planer and a cylinder casing jams it in time. But I'll be out of work for a week while they fix it. But Mr. Henchard's luck worked all the way. If he'd have fallen in a planer, a fuse would have blown, and he'd have been back at work the next day on full salary.
Okay, okay, so Mr. Henchard had a better class of tenant. Ours are sloppy, so our luck will be a little sloppy, too, but they stay. They stay here if they have the wildest parties in town.
Oh, you're right. We own a slum, but it's better than nothing. Let's go down to Moriarty's for a drink. I think we need it.
Ooh, ooh. Ain't a fit night out for man or beast.
How about Pixie?
Oh.
I wonder what Moriarty would say if we told him about our tenants.
He probably 86's and throws out of the place.
Stand back, honey. The bus is coming by. Might splash mud on
him. He's coming awfully fast for a wet night.
I'll say he is, the crazy idiot. Jackie, jump! You all right?
Yeah. I think so. How did he ever miss us?
Caught his skid at the last minute.
Oh.
Pure luck.
Pure luck? And us sitting here with mud all over us?
We may be muddy, but we're alive. Come on. Let's get into Moriarty's.
Oh, boy, can I use a drink.
Right. Two doubles, Moriarty, and fast.
Okay, Eddie. Hey, what happened? You two fall in the mud?
Yeah.
Boy, that's bad luck, kid.
No. You're wrong, Moriarty. Not bad luck. Good luck. Sloppy, but good.
You're so right, honey. Well, here's luck.
The CBS Radio Workshop has presented Housing Problem, a play for radio by Sam Pierce, adapted from the short story by Henry Kuttner. Shirley Mitchell was heard as Jackie, Shepard Menken as Eddie, and Dawes Butler as Mr. Henchard, Mike, and Moriarty. Next week, from New York, the workshop will present Norman DeLoGioia's Pulitzer Prize-winning composition, Meditations on Ecclesiastes, with Edward R. Murrow, Father Lawrence McGinley, Rabbi Theodore L. Adams, Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Senator John Kennedy, and a 55-piece string orchestra conducted by Alfredo Antonini.
The CBS Radio Workshop on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from June 16, 1957, featuring, among others, Dawes Butler. You may have recognized his voice, but not exactly in the character you might be familiar with, as this very talented voice actor not only starred with Stan Freberg in his program in 1957, but would go on to have a legendary career in cartoons, providing the voices for Chili Willy, Captain Crunch, Quick Draw McGraw, and most famously, Yogi Bear. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Next, an audition broadcast, or one that was produced for network consideration, though it never got past this episode, it's I Confess. Paul Frees is a well-known voice during radio's yesteryear, another man who would go on to have a lucrative career in cartoons, along with working for Disney, being the voice of many of their rides. Co-stars next, from October 17, 1952.
This is a tape recording. I'm 15 years old. Because of my mother and the baby I'm expecting, I won't use my real name. I'll call myself Doris Kane. I'm making this broadcast in the hope that someone, somewhere, may benefit from my mistake. Before I tell you of the crimes I've committed, I've been asked to read this prepared statement. I make this confession of my own free will because it is true. There has not been any force or violence used upon my person to induce me to make these statements. Without promise of immunity or reward or gratuity, I confess.
I confess. Documented confessions of actual crimes. To protect the legal rights of this girl, names and places will be changed or deleted. The case history is true. Listen, then, if you have the courage, to an actual confession of a documented crime. By the grace of God, never let it be you. Doris Kane, you realize that what you're going to tell us is being recorded, and it'll be broadcast to the general public.
Yes, I know.
Go ahead, please.
Well, I knew he was dead. Even before they told me, I knew he was dead. And I...
Suppose you try and tell it from the beginning. You say you lived in Cleveland.
I ran away.
But your home is still there?
I lived with my mother. My father and her were separated.
Hmm. What does your mother do?
She sews. She does sewing.
Why'd you leave home?
I don't know. Maybe. I guess because she was always treating me like a kid.
Doris, that you?
Uh-huh.
You know what time it is?
Yeah.
12 o'clock.
I know.
Bumming around till midnight.
What are you working so late for?
I'm almost finished. Where were you?
Out.
Out. Where?
With some friends.
Friends. Friends like Jimmy, I suppose.
You just don't like him. I'm going to bed.
You come on back here.
What do you want?
You was out with Jimmy, wasn't you?
Oh, right, I was out with Jimmy.
Don't you give me them talking back answers. Where did you go?
We went bowling.
Bowling, huh? They serve liquor there. Jimmy bought you liquor, didn't he?
I didn't have any liquor.
Don't lie to me. I could smell it when you came in. He bought your liquor, a kid like you.
I'm not a kid.
Go on. Go on to bed. I can't do anything with you. I give up. I've done all I can. You're just no good.
Mom. I'm sorry. Mom,
sorry. Go on to bed.
It was like she said, I was no good. Jimmy was at the bowling alley. He wanted me to meet him there after they closed up at 2 o'clock. To say goodbye, he said, because he was going away and I might never see him again. And then I got a crazy idea. Maybe I could go with him. I put my clothes in a box and sneaked out the back way. Jimmy was glad to see me. It was one thing about Jimmy. Always glad to see me.
Dory, I thought you weren't coming.
I wasn't.
Your mom, huh?
You know how she is.
I'd have gone crazy if you hadn't come back to say goodbye. What's in the box?
Clothes.
What for?
I'm running away.
Yeah?
Jimmy, take me along.
Take you along?
Please, Jimmy, I won't be any trouble. Honest, I won't.
Gee, I don't know.
Please, Jimmy. Please.
Well, maybe. Okay, why not?
Thanks, Jimmy.
Sure, come on.
We went across town to the Congress Hotel, I think it was. Jimmy said he had to meet a friend of his. We waited out on the sidewalk. I wondered if I shouldn't go back and tell my mother goodbye, but I couldn't. Maybe I'd write her a letter, say tomorrow, just so she'd know I was all right. And then in about a half hour, a car pulled up in front of the hotel. Jimmy opened the door for me.
Hi.
Hop in, Dory.
All right.
Put your stuff in the back. Doris, this is Frank, my partner.
Hello.
You didn't say anything about bringing a girl along.
We just arranged it.
I said the two of us.
If you don't like it, let us out at the next corner.
Oh, no, take it easy. Don't get blisters. It's just that you didn't say anything.
Forget it, will you?
Sure, sure. If you say she's okay, it's okay. What time is it?
It's about 2:30.
It's too late to make a connection. We got to roll.
Frank drove fast. Jimmy put his arm around me. I felt warm inside. After a while, I fell asleep. When I woke up, it was daylight. Jimmy was sleeping. We were somewhere out in the country. Frankie didn't seem sleepy at all. He just kept driving. Then Jimmy woke up. It must have been about an hour later when we stopped at a little gas station. It was just this little gas station, no other buildings around.
How does it look to you, Jimmy?
Fine.
It's pretty out of the way. No other customers.
No waiting.
Just what I was thinking. I'll be right back.
It sure is dead out here.
Yeah.
Frank must be tired.
Frank never gets tired, as long as he can get a fix.
He's gone inside the station.
Yeah. You know something?
What?
You're pretty.
What did you mean before about Frankie? About not getting tired long as he can get a fix.
Oh, age. You know, heroin. He's hooked on the stuff.
Oh.
No kidding, Dora. You're real pretty. You know I couldn't really have left you. Honest, I couldn't.
Say.
Yeah?
What's keeping Frank?
I don't know. Dory. I love you, Dory.
Jimmy.
You love me?
Yes. Yes, I do, Jimmy.
Hey, I got a great idea.
What?
Why don't we get married?
Married?
Why not?
Listen,
Frank's got something big lined up. Real big. He's taking me in with him. We'll have plenty of money. We'll get an apartment. In San Francisco, maybe. How does that sound, honey?
Jimmy, it sounds wonderful.
Mrs. Jimmy Kane.
Mrs. Jimmy Kane.
Oh, honey.
Here comes Frank.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta get rolling.
Well, you didn't get any gas.
Nope.
How was it, Frank?
Not bad, not good. 50, that was all he had.
50? That's okay.
Jimmy, what is it? Jimmy, what's happening? Something happened.
Take it easy, Dory. Everything's all right.
See anybody in the back?
Just a second. Nope, all clear.
Okay. Yeah, this ought to hold us a while.
Jimmy.
Hey, Frank, guess what? Dory and me are going to get married.
Married? You're kind of young for that.
We'll tell them we're older. You can give the bride away.
No kidding. That's great. Married, huh?
Yeah, we can stop off at the next town, pick up a license, and look for a justice of the peace.
Here comes the bride, big, fat, and wide.
We got the license. Then we stopped at a country judge's place and got married. Frank was the witness. By that time, it was getting towards evening. Frank was going to try and connect for some H, he said. It was running out of caps. He dropped Jimmy and me at a motel. Wasn't much of a honeymoon, I guess, but it was... Well, I was Jimmy's wife, and I didn't care where we stayed as long as we were together. You know...
I wonder where that's going.
I don't know.
Old married people, huh?
Yeah. Jimmy, what happened?
What happened when?
At the gas station. The money Frank gave us. He got it at the gas station, didn't he?
So what?
But a holdup.
He did it. We didn't do it. He did.
I'm scared. Frank, he's a dope addict, isn't he?
Yeah, he's hooked bad. If he don't score, he goes crazy.
You, Jimmy?
What?
Hooked?
Me hooked? Oh, of course not.
Do you use it?
Maybe a joy pop once in a while, just for kicks. But I haven't got the habit, if that's what you mean. Just now and then.
I'm scared, Jimmy.
You sorry I took you along?
No, I'm not sorry, Jimmy. I just don't want you getting into trouble, that's all. Who's that?
Frank, probably.
I'll get it.
No, you wait here. Yes?
State Police. You Mr. Kane?
Yeah, that's me.
My partner and I'd like to see you outside.
What for?
There's a gas station held up about 75 miles east of here. We're checking an all-late arrival.
Hold up. I didn't have anything to do with a holdup.
Officer, he didn't have anything to do with a holdup.
Stay out of this, Doris.
We just got married. See, here's our marriage license. He's been with me all day.
Let's see that. Just got married today, huh? Well, congratulations. Here you are.
Thanks.
Oh, say.
Yeah?
How old are you?
21.
Yeah. Man they described was old enough to be your father. Good luck, kid.
Thanks.
Jimmy. Jimmy.
Oh, it's all right, honey. You did great, just great. You know something? You're all right.
I was part of it now. I'd lied for him. The next morning, Frank picked us up. He said he'd found a mule. You know someone who sells heroin. We told him about the state police, and he got mad. We went about 50 miles, and then Frank pulled up at another gas station. I was scared. Jimmy kept telling me to take it easy. Frank got out of the car and left Jimmy and me sitting there. We didn't say anything. We just sat there. We just sat there waiting.
Frank?
All clear?
Oh. Yeah, all clear. Frank?
Yeah?
Did you have to kill him?
I don't like witnesses.
But you didn't have to kill him, did you?
I don't like cops on my neck.
Why'd you have to kill him?
Because I had to, that's why. Now shut up.
We kept driving west. We'd stop in different places on the way, sometimes a week, sometimes only a couple of days. We changed cars lots of times. Frank got them off parking lots. He'd always change the license plates, putting on cold plates, he said. We kept on the move. It was almost 3 months now. I guess the only reason I didn't run out was because I was married to Jimmy. Someplace near Denver, I got sick on the road and we had to stop. After I was all right again, we went on. I was afraid of Frank. Kept using more and more narcotics.
Doris?
Yeah?
You okay now?
Yeah, I'm okay.
From now on, you earn your way.
What?
I said from now on, she earns her way. No more dead weight. We could use her for a lookout.
Why does she have to get into this?
Because she's here and we're feeding, and that's why.
Now listen.
Now you'll listen, Buster. After we hit the big job in Frisco, you're on your own. I don't care what you do. Take your cut and scram. But until then, I'm the boy.
I'm not going to do it.
It's just till we get to Frisco, honey.
I'm not going to do it.
Just sit in the car, and if you hear somebody coming, beep the horn or flash the lights. That's all you have to do.
I can't do it. I'm scared.
I'll be depending on you, honey. You don't want me killed, do you?
Why can't you quit it, Jimmy? What if they catch us?
That'll be up to you. Right, Frank?
That's right, Doris. It'll all be up to you.
After that, I was the lookout. I don't remember how many holdups there were. It was all like a dream. When we got to San Francisco, we got a room in Richmond. That's across the bay. And Frank got a place in town. Frank had plans for this big job. That's what he called it, the big job. He didn't tell me any of the details. He didn't want me along on this one, but still I was scared. For the first time, Jimmy was carrying a gun. I tried to talk to him before he left. Funny, you remember silly things. I remember the landlady was vacuuming in the hallway outside.
Listen, honey.
Don't do it, Jimmy. Please.
This is the last one, honey, the last one. After this, we don't have to worry anymore.
I can't help worrying, Jimmy. It's everything.
What do you mean, everything?
Are you hooked, Jimmy? Did Frankie hook you on the stuff so you can't do without it?
Oh, I use a little, sure. You know that. So what? Let's not talk about it, you hear?
Please, Jimmy, don't go today.
It's all set, honey. Now listen
to me.
What
if something goes wrong?
Nothing's going wrong. Now listen to me, will you? It's 3 o'clock now. Frank will get back here at 5 with the money. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
Okay. Now, Frank and I are going to have to separate. I'll take the bus back here. It'll take longer, but it'll be safer. You'll be all packed and ready to go.
I don't like it, Jimmy.
You just wait here.
Jimmy.
Yeah?
Kiss me?
Sure, honey. Now, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. Goodbye, honey.
Jimmy. I didn't have a radio or a newspaper or anything. I just sat there and waited. Then I began to feel sick. I thought it was because I was nervous or something. I went out and saw our landlady. She told me to lay down and she went for a doctor. The doctor came and gave me something and went away. After 5 o'clock, Jimmy came in. He was all out of breath. I was so glad to see him, I cried.
Hi, honey.
Jimmy!
No, honey, take it easy. Nothing to cry about. Everything was perfect. Not a hitch.
I thought I'd never see you again.
Oh, don't be silly. They can't hurt me. Where's Frank?
He's not here.
Not here? Oh, I took the bus. He had the car. Should have been here long ago. Hey, maybe they picked him up.
You think they did?
Well, otherwise he'd be here. Oh, boy, I hope not. I told him I should have taken part of the money. We haven't got any dough.
Jimmy, remember I felt sick?
Wonder where he is.
Jimmy?
Yeah?
Remember I felt sick that time? Well, I got sick again. I had to have a doctor.
When?
While you were gone just now.
What was the trouble?
Well, the doctor was here. He says I'm going to have a baby.
What?
That's what he said.
Honey.
Jimmy, what are we going to do?
A baby.
What are we going to do?
That's wonderful. When Frank gets here, we'll have a big celebration. That's what we're going to do. We'll celebrate all the way down to L.A. I wonder where he is. Frank's too smart for the cops. They never got him.
Did they see you?
I don't know. All I know is we can't stay here.
What about Frank? He's got the money. He's got the car.
I'll tell you what. We'll wait here till morning. Then I'll go down and get a paper. The paper will tell us whether they got him.
Jimmy, I'm scared.
Oh, now don't worry, honey. Frank will be here. He's too smart for those dumb cops. He'll be here. Only I'm getting the shakes. Could sure use a fix.
We didn't go to sleep. Jimmy took a fix and kept pacing the floor all night. I knew now that Jimmy was an addict, too. I got sick again. Finally, when the morning papers came out, Jimmy went down and got one. When he came back, his face was white.
How do you like that? How do you like that?
What's the matter?
Here it is, right here in the paper. But there's nothing about anybody getting caught. Says they got away. How do you like that? We've been left high and dry.
He's got all the money?
Every penny of it. He ditched us. He took the car and all the money and he ditched us.
Jimmy, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, we got to. No car, no money. You're going to have a baby.
We'll be all right.
Yeah,
Jimmy.
Sure. We'll be all right. We'll clean up, honey, you and me. Who needs Frank anyhow? Only without him, where can I connect for some stuff? Dory, I got to have it now. I got to have it.
I packed our bag and we left. We were pretty lucky. We hitched a ride out of town. Then we got another ride. It was a small truck. The man was going all the way to Los Angeles. We rode a couple of hours, and then I got feeling sick again.
What's the matter, honey?
I don't feel well, Jimmy.
Well, now, ma'am, what you need is some coffee. I got me a thermos in the glove compartment there.
Well...
Go on, dig it out, why don't you?
Oh, thanks, mister.
Sure, go right ahead, help yourself. Yes, that coffee's the best thing in the world for the digestive system.
Maybe it will help me.
Best thing in the world for you. Sorry I can't stop for you to drink it, but I got a schedule to meet.
That's okay.
Yes, sir, nothing like coffee. Well, my daddy used to feed me coffee when I was 5. It's great. Of course, that's why I'm only 5'1" in my stocking feet.
Mister?
Yeah?
This is a gun in my pocket.
What?
Now, don't get excited. Just pull over to the side of the road.
Hey, what is this?
Don't talk. Just do as I say. This might go off.
All right. Take it easy.
Hand your wallet over here.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I got all my identification in there. Take the money, but for Pete's sake...
The wallet, I said. Now, get out.
It's plain stupid of you, buddy.
Get out. Walk around the front of the truck.
Where are you going, Jimmy?
Wait here. Okay, mister, turn around.
What are you going to do?
Just this.
Jimmy.
Okay, honey.
Jimmy, you killed him.
He'll be okay. I just clunked him on the head. Give us more time.
You shouldn't have done that, Jimmy.
Look in the wallet. How much is there in
you
it?
You shouldn't have done
come
that.
Come on, come on. How much is there?
Let's see. $20. Just one $20 bill.
$20? Well, that's not bad. When we get to Merced, I'll make a connection and get a couple of caps. We'll ditch the truck, then we'll swipe a car someplace and pull a job that'll keep us a while.
Oh, please, Jimmy, no more.
You crazy? We gotta have money. I gotta have it right away.
I'll get a job, Jimmy.
The cop's right behind us, and you're gonna get a job. Oh, don't talk silly, honey. Our luck's hot. Besides, I know how to pull him now.
Maybe you killed him.
No, I didn't hit him that hard. Just hard enough to make him sleepy. I didn't kill him.
Maybe you did. Oh, Jimmy, what are we gonna do?
I told you.
I can't take it anymore. Running away, always running away, and now you hooked. You hooked.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. Oh, but did you...
You're scared of something?
Yes, I'm scared. But not for myself. I'm scared for you.
If you don't like the setup, why don't you just pull out? Go ahead. Grab the first bus back to Mama, why don't you?
Don't talk like that, Jimmy. I don't...
Hey.
What?
Frank. He doesn't know it, but he did me a real favor. Just when we needed a break. Good old Frank.
What is it, Jimmy?
I just happen to remember. A couple of weeks ago, Frank was telling me about a place, a drugstore in Fresno that's real close to here. A pushover, he says. They'll probably have a big narco supply, too. We'll break it tonight, you and me.
I can't, Jimmy. They'll get us. I can't.
Quit saying you can't. There's nothing to it. Just sit out like you always do, and if you see anybody, flash the lights and honk the horn. That's all you have to do. Now be quiet. I gotta think.
I tried to talk him out of it, but he only got madder. We ditched the truck in Merced. Then Jimmy used up his last cap. About 9 o'clock that night, we got a ride into Fresno. We got something to eat. Then we went into a parking lot, took a black sedan, and got out of there fast. Then we drove out to the place. It was closed. Jimmy was like a crazy man. He knew there were narcotics inside the store. I kept the motor running, and Jimmy went up to the front door. My heart was pounding harder than it ever did before. Jimmy kicked in the plate glass in the door and went inside, and a bell started clanging. It was a burglar alarm. Then I saw a patrol car swing in the alley alongside the store, and I started flashing the lights and honking the horn. I could see Jimmy through the window. He ducked behind a showcase. One of the police was running toward the back of the building. The other ran in the front door. I ran in after him. I remember I was screaming, Jimmy, Jimmy. Then the shots.
Come out with your hands up. Come and get me.
Jimmy.
Doris, get out of here. You want to get yourself killed?
Jimmy, Jimmy.
Out with your hands up. Duck down, Doris. You're in my way. Doris, get out of here.
Don't shoot, Jimmy.
Get out of the way. How do you like that, coppers?
Jimmy.
Hey, lady, are you hurt?
Jimmy! Jimmy!
Come on, get up now.
You killed him.
Almost got you, too. What was the idea of running right in the line of fire?
What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
You're coming with us.
My baby. Our baby.
What baby?
He was my husband. I'm going to have a baby.
Baby? Let's have a look at you. You kids. There wasn't a dollar in that cash register. Somebody tried to break in last night. We picked him up.
Last night? Frank.
Yeah, that's his name, Frank. Frank Lennard, you know him?
Sure. Frank. He's the one you should have killed.
first heard an actual confession. To protect the legal rights of this girl, names and places were changed or deleted. In a moment, you'll hear again from Doris Kane, who was arrested in Merced County, state of California, tried under Section 700 sub M WIC. Jimmy Kane's body was claimed by his parents and returned to Cleveland for burial. Frank Lennard was extradited to Ohio to stand trial for murder. The state of California has holds on him for grand theft auto, robbery, and burglary. Now here again is Doris Kane.
That's how it happened. Just like you heard. My husband was 18 when he died. I'm 15 now, and I'll be a ward of the juvenile court of Merced County in the El Retiro State School for Girls until I'm 21. But I'm thankful that because of my age, my baby will not have to be born in a prison. I'm thankful also that I escaped becoming a drug addict. I guess I'm most thankful of all for that, because I've seen what it does to you. A lot of boys and girls are following in my footsteps and don't know it. Maybe if they heard this, they'll think twice before they hurt themselves and the people who love them.
This has been I Confess, documented confessions of actual crimes. These true tragedies are brought to you each week at this time in an effort to stem the nation's forward march of crime. I Confess is a Canfield Lewis creation produced by Don W. Sharp.
I Confess, on Tuned to Yesterday, an audition recording from October 17th, 1952. And that brings to a close this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.